Getting started with solo RPGs can be a really daunting task. There's so much information out there, and sifting through it can feel like a full-time job. And despite all of it that's out there, it can be very hard to figure out just where to start. Something straightforward that says, do this, then do that. Well, here's the thing. Before you play any solo RPGs, you need to figure out what game you're going to play. And there are different types of solo RPG games out there. Step one is picking the one that's best for you. I put together a little PDF that details different types of solo RPG games and also walks you through the pros and cons of each, so you can decide what you want out of your solo RPG journey. Do you just like running through dungeons, killing monsters, or journaling from your character's point of view? Or do you want an in-depth story and you're really excited to jump on both sides of the screen, being both the player and your own game master? This PDF details all those types of games and more, as well as concrete examples so you know what to buy next. You can get it by going to crumblingkeep.com, crumblingkeep.com/solo. That's crumblingkeep.com/solo. Let's get you playing with yourself. Hi, my name is James, and I was once a bartender in a game store. I'm here to dork about dungeons and designs on Crumbling Keeps, the Dungeon Dork. Every game is a mystery. Or at least they should be. For some games, like Call of Cthulhu, this seems obvious. The players go in knowing it's a mystery. They're looking for clues, they're trying to figure out who's behind it all, what eldritch horror lurks in the dark. But even if we look at Dungeons and Dragons, for instance, your game should be a mystery. They might not look like it from the outside, but clues are a better in-game currency than magic items or treasure any day of the week. Let me explain that a bit. I've noticed one of the things that keeps players really excited to come back session after session is knowing what'll happen next, which I think partially is why there's the big game theory that we actually play the game to find out what will happen. And that's part of it. You don't plan what will happen in your prep sessions for the game, right? Yeah, you make a bunch of plans in the prep session, but to find out what actually happens, that happens during play. And if the players already knew what was going to happen, or even if the GM already knew what was going to happen, what's the use of playing? So that's a little part of the mystery there. But that said, I like to think about entire campaign structures as one big mystery. You have to kind of feed the players the campaign slowly over time. When that first encounter happens, they probably don't have a good look on what the big overarching campaign is going to be. They're just fighting some giant rats or some goblins, for instance. But eventually, preferably in the first few sessions, they're going to find out that there's something they don't know, right? And then it's just a matter of sending them toward that direction. It might be who the big bad is. It might be what's causing the crops to wilt in this field. It might be what's making the sound from the other end of this hallway. So a game isn't just one big mystery. It's a bunch of little mysteries strung together. Anywhere where you can add an element of the unknown, like psychologically speaking, it creates an open loop. And the players are going to want to close that loop. If you hear, say, a bunch of scratching from the other side of the door, what is it? The players are going to want to know. They're going to want to put their ear to the door. They're going to try and look over it. And if nothing else works, or look under it, rather, if nothing else works, they're going to want to yank that door open and see what's staring them down from the other side. Every game is a mystery. Now, I don't remember what blog post it was, and I wish I did so I could give proper credit. But it basically said that Dungeons & Dragons, as it was originally written, was a survival horror game. That sounds a little absurd until you think about it a little bit. There's monsters. They are trying to kill you. And originally, you had limited resources. One of those resources was hit points. It was a game of attrition. And when the game was mostly just exploring a really big dungeon, there was always the question of what's going to be in this room? What's on the next floor? Are there any traps in front of me? There was that delicious tension of not knowing, is your character going to survive? That really made it worth showing up. And in that way, it was also a mystery. It's definitely slanted toward the horror side of things. So when I say that clues are better than magic items or treasure, I really think they are. Now, one of the reasons treasure and magic items and even experience points are in the game are as they are in-game incentives for the characters driven by the players to do things. Is there a chest on the other end of this massive pit? Well, that tells the players, my character probably wants to go over there and see what's in that box. Notice there's a little mystery there too, but that aside. If you get experience points for killing 100 goblins, that tells the player that they want their character to kill 100 goblins and get that experience points, level up their character, and make them better. These are all in-game incentives. They drive the style of play. They drive the characters and in turn drive the players to want to perform certain actions. But the thing is, no matter how much treasure you get in an RPG game, you're never going to hold it in your hands. You're never going to actually have a longsword plus two or whatever. And that's where clues come in. You might not get that longsword, but if you find out the real name of the Lord of Cinders, that's something. Or if you find out who's been stealing all the baker's grain, or you find out what that sword really does, that's really cool. And that will drive play just as much. If you have a magical sword and you don't know what its main power is, you just know that it's supposedly very powerful. And you hear that there is a forgotten tome in a dungeon somewhere clear across the map. Guess where your player characters are probably want to go next. And the tome isn't magical. It's not going to give them experience points. It's probably not even worth a lot of gold pieces. But that knowledge, that promise of a clue, that's what's going to drive them there. See, I say every game is a mystery, and that while that's not untrue, it might be maybe slightly exaggerated. The thing is, every story in some way is a mystery. Every book we read, so we don't know how it's going to end. And that's why we love reading books and watching shows and everything else, because they create an open loop in us. They give us something to solve, something that we want to know how it's going to go. And we have to invest the time and the effort either by reading or by watching the show or by rolling the dice and having our character kill some more kobolds to figure out what comes next. It's funny because it's really an anxious response. As human beings, we have a kind of control thing to us. We want to control things around us. And when there is something outside of our control, when we're in the grasslands and we see that grass wavering and we know there's something large coming toward us in the grass, but we don't know what it is, that's a mystery. And that triggers our anxiety. And I know that we like to think of anxiety as a bad thing, and that's because a lot of us have too much of it, myself included. It served and serves to a point a really important purpose. It keeps us alive. And so human beings, we in some ways want to feel that anxiety, and then we want the answer to that anxiety as well. What is out there in the grass? How does the story end? So do me a favor. Next time you're planning a campaign or just a game session, give this some thought. What is or are the mysteries in your game, and where can the clues be found? What NPCs have that very important knowledge? What old tomes are out there? What is happening behind the scenes that's only going to be hinted at that the players really want to know? It's going to change the interaction in the game. It's going to change the way you think about your prep. And you're going to see some really cool things happening. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you have any questions about anything I talked about here today or on any past episodes of Dungeon Dorks, go to crumblingkeep.com/question and ask away, or just check the link in the show notes.